So here we are with another Natter That Matters, because all conversations count, including the ones in your head and outside of you. And today I'm going to have a splendid conversation with the fab Todd. Actually, if you're searching for Todd on social media, you might find him as Graham somewhere, which is bizarre because, of course, you don't look anything like a Graham. I just can't even get that name for you in my head. And if you're listening to this, you'll be looking for a Graham and you won't find one, but you can definitely see a Todd. Todd from Spaghetti Agency, welcome to here. How are you?
Howdy, I'm good, thank you. Really good, thank you for having me on for a Natter. Appreciate it.
I love it. Somebody said, that's a weird name for a podcast. I said, well, it's not an official, you know, scripted. There's no kind of big build up to it. It's just a natter, really, because that's how we learn, isn't it? Those conversations in the pub, not for you in the pub, maybe not now. I don't know. Sober ones in the pub, maybe. But yeah, or at the end of a networking event, they're the ones that typically, they make the difference, don't they? And I think I probably met you 100 years ago. I can't remember meeting you. Remember. It was a long time ago, though.
Long time ago, yeah. It was at a networking meeting, probably at a breakfast. I probably met you over a sausage.
You did. I'm sure you did. Or two, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah.
You should go to people because they'll be like, oh, she's got a man on a podcast. That doesn't happen very often. He must be special. He fucking is. So why don't you introduce
Wow, I like this. I actually spoke at a ladies only networking event once and I was like, are you sure? I don't even identify as a female. I'm like, no, it's fine. You can come along. I was like, oh, cool. Who am I? I don't know. I went on my own digital marketing agency. I've done that for about 10 years. I teach and train people how to use content marketing, social media. My team create content media marketing and social media for clients. And our brand, Spaghetti Agency, if you're watching the podcast, I don't know if they can watch the podcast, but if they can't, it's Wild West themed. So I often go to places dressed as a cowboy. We shoot from the hip. No ball, just big is our tagline. So I kind of tell it like it is, really. So there's a lot of bullshit in marketing. And about a long time ago now, 12 years ago or so, I found Twitter and I was like, most of these marketing agencies talk a load of bollocks, what they're talking about. And I got more reach and more engagement and more national and international press from an iPhone 3 from a transit van than they were doing with all of their stuff. And I thought, it can't be that difficult. Why are they so crap at it? So corporate and never had a job in my life, never had a job interview in my life. And I was like, a lot of it was wrong, my assumptions, but I'm glad I had the wrong assumptions because I built a business. But my aim still now is to cut out the bullshit marketing, give people actually what they want about, give them leads, give them sales and help them understand it. So that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah, that's why I like you. I'm the same, obviously. There's such a lot of hype, isn't there? Oh, people get really overwhelmed. I did a blog about this earlier in the week. Like, people are so overwhelmed with all the stuff. You're like, what do you need to achieve? It's like the first question, isn't it? Most people don't ask themselves that, do they? So yeah. So when you look back at that you all those years ago who were sitting in that van, what did you need right then? What was your purpose in life? Where were you going? What were you doing?
I was delivering wine and I loved it and that was it. I didn't really have a purpose and I found Twitter at a wine tasting as you do and really loved it. I spent 3 months trying to sell wine and it was just it failed miserably because no one really wanted to buy it. I was like, that's weird, everyone drinks wine. But then I quickly, it was a crash course in understanding digital marketing, which is you don't sell anything, you build relationships and you tell stories. And that's still to this day, this morning with a client, we'll still share that message because people don't get it. They just want to sell all their shit. And it's like, no one wants to buy your shit. I watched a really interesting TikTok this morning from another digital marketer. And I forget her name, otherwise I would credit her. And she said, it's like, you look at Red Bull as a marketing concept. Red Bull never talk about their product, ever. It used to be Red Bull gives you wings. That's gone out the window now. Someone's trying to sue them because they didn't actually get wings. There's some dickheads in the world. But they're all their marketing is about energy. All of it. It's like, yeah, jump off a fucking river. Jump out of space to the earth, like, you know, sponsor this F1 team, you know, it's all about energy. And I think a lot of people miss that, but their marketing, it's like, don't market the shit you do, market who you are and what you stand for. And then people are like, oh, what do you do? Like, so many of the services and things we do at Spaghetti Agency, I never ever advertise that I do Google advertising.
I've never seen you do that, actually. I wouldn't even know. Yeah. I know what you do.
Because people ask me. They say, oh, I need help with my digital marketing. Or, you know, I need help with marketing. People assume we do branding and they assume we do this, we assume that. But they're asking us because they're intrigued by what we do. And I think that's the bit you miss. If you look at social media now, if you scroll through TikTok and Instagram, Facebook Reels and YouTube, it's attention. It's all about attention. And people are interested in stories. They're interested in themselves. They're interested in negative stuff. Ask the BBC. They're bloody good at it. Getting people's attention is what it's all about. The moment you say, I've got this thing for sale, get it.
No, It's true. I agree completely. So when you learned that, so it took you a few months to get your head around that, and then you were in love with Twitter. Then what happened?
Then I fell in love with a girl. I met Jo, my business partner on Twitter, and I was married, she was married. And you talk about, what my goal was. I do not know. Sat here right now, how the fuck all that happened. But I saw this girl on Twitter and she started proofreading my tweets and it irritated me. Then I dropped some wine around to her office. And then she started proofreading my blogs. And then we went viral on this little campaign we created around here with another girl I met, Karen. I was also divorced, but that's not to do with me. I feel like I've got a trail of divorces, but that's got nothing to do with me. And we created this thing and got media attention. And then it was like people kept saying to me, "You should do this as a business." I was like, "No, no one's going to pay me to do this. This is just me dicking around on my iPhone." And I still kind of got that imposter syndrome thing now. It's like, "Oh, no, it's just me, just me."
You just couldn't get them to buy wine. They're not going to buy you if they wouldn't buy wine from you, would they? That's
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that's still, it's a weird thing to think. Well, people do want what you do, and they're asking. So that the world, the universe, whatever you believe in, God, whatever it was like, start your own business. Start your own business. And I had a conversation with a business coach in a pub with Joe. He was a free business coach consultant. He was trying to get his hours up because he was doing a diploma or something like that. His name's Rob. He's a really nice guy, and I had a conversation that changed my life. He said, "Well, why can't you quit your job?" And I said, "I can't afford to just start a business. I've got no clients. I've got a couple of clients." And he said, "I mean, you just got divorced." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Haven't you just sold your house?" I said, "Well, yeah." He said, "How much equity have you got?" I went, "Oh, about 20 grand." And he said, "How long could you live on 20 grand for?" And I sort of did some real back of the hand maths, and I thought, oh, if I was really careful, and I wasn't, by the way, if I was really careful, probably 10 months. And he said, "So do you think you could get clients in 10 months to at least equal what you need to live on now?" And bear in mind, you've just said you're going to limit it down, so your overheads will be lower. And it was just a really good question, and I had no other answer to it other than like some kind of ego bravado. Yeah, fuck, I can do that. So I quit mentally in my head, and the next day I told my boss, we have a conversation later. I gave them 2 weeks notice because I had no contract. They were a small family business, but they weren't really looking after me at that point. And I was like, I'm going. And that was it. I quit. So within 6 months, I quit my job, quit my marriage, quit the house where I lived in, sold it, started a business, moved in with someone else. All in 6 months.
Joe, I'm assuming. Moved in with Joe, I'm assuming you moved in, not
Moved
in
in
another
with
one.
Joe. Yeah, definitely with Joe. Yeah.
So there's a lot of quitting going on in your life. Sounds like you have to quit something. You're not like, oh, let's gently go in. We're like a bam, quit next. Sounds like there's a real pattern going on for you there.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, like most people, I will stick with it for a while, put up with things for a while. But the older I get and the more experience I have of stopping things and replacing things and being a bit more logically minded rather than emotionally minded about things, I'll look at it and go, like, if I go back to your question, what's the goal? Where are you going? And I'll ask myself, like, where am I going? There. Okay. Does this really need to be here to go there? Do you need to improve this to go there? And I just try and be a bit more logical. Easiest said than done. Don't always do it. But that's how I quit drinking a couple of years ago. It was like, this is not serving where I'm going. So I quit. Yeah.
There's
Should probably talk
a
about
lot more to it that you can just quit. I was going to say there's going to be a lot more
that.
conversation. That's such a passing comment. It's been a big deal, he says, as he sucks from his water bottle. Yeah, that and so I don't know because
All I
I've
drink.
just got loads of them. Yeah, no, I'm more got the coffee, like I'm the other way around. I wish, in
Oh,
fact, this bottle
I got
of
one of them
water
as well.
has been here about, this has been here about a month. And look, he's got
Oh
condensate.
no, it's
That's impressive.
branded.
Honestly, that's bad, isn't it? I need your influence. And I've been watching your journey. So when you say you quit, it wasn't just you just quit the booze. There was a whole load of stuff around it. And even, I know you, but I'm not in your life and in your world. And sort of watching that kind of happen and watch your transformation, bear in mind, I'm in that business of transformation, has just been quite phenomenal. So I think you, and I know that there's a lot of people telling you you're amazing and you've done incredibly and you've inspired them. So how did that begin? Where was the moment when you thought, actually, you just said it there. This isn't serving me because there's typically that breakthrough moment that creates a breakdown of that behavior, that belief, that system that you had been running to create a new one. So what happened? How did it all come about?
I think it came about, I think it took a long time. So you and I met at a networking group, and at that same sort of group of groups, I met someone who did hypnosis, and he posted on Facebook one day to say, I've been sober 4 years, I think Stuart said at the time. And this was a long time ago. And I was like, really do with not drinking as much as I am. So I sort of
Right.
reached out to him and said, could you get rid of drinking just in the week? And he said, yes. So I did that. I got hypnosis and it worked. It was fantastic. And I didn't drink Monday to Friday at 4:30 p.m. But what it did was create a load of binge drinking. So I'd already highlighted it was a bit of a problem, but it made no difference. And if anything else, I drank more because I crushed it towards the end of the week. And once you've had four beers, you can easily have 25. It doesn't really matter because you're already pissed and who cares.
In
So
fact, you
I had.
created a networking event, didn't you? During lockdown, you created a networking event. It was at
Yeah,
Harper's
yeah.
Ferry on a Friday. And I don't understand where that comes from now then, Todd.
It tied into my life. Yeah, I had my own
My
online
life.
pub. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you were there. I mean, you were one of my 300 punters. I had Boris shut the pubs and I opened my own. And it was great fun, but it was completely self-serving. And there are so many examples of that, way more than I'll go into now because of the time. Well, I'm a very open book, but there were so many things in my life that were designed around my drinking habit, including a Friday afternoon event where I invited business owners from all over the UK, completely designed around my drinking habit. Like I was so selfish around it, and it was the center of my world. So I kind of knew this, but hadn't really front of the brain looked at it as an issue. But then I started sort of hearing things and listening to stuff. And occasionally people would say, oh, alcohol lowers your vibration, or you're not as clear on alcohol. Most sports people don't drink at all. Or you look at Ronaldo and his amazing body. He's never drank anything and he's not meeting. And of course, the reticular activator, the algorithms all start serving in more stuff. So this was just gently going on, probably feeding the back of my brain. And then I went to an event in London in 2021 in September. And the last talk of the day by a guy called Ed Milet was streamed in on Zoom because it was kind of post-COVID times, and the US and the UK were all differing opinions on who you could fly with and what you could have and what you couldn't have and all that governance that we won't talk about. So anyway, he zoomed in on the screen and it was such a hypnotic experience. He was on both screens in front. The sound quality was amazing. The lights went down. And he told this story about his father, who was an alcoholic, and how it nearly ruined their life and how his father turned it around, became this amazing. Same right here. And he told this story about how his father got dry and then just one day at a time, I just won't drink today, he would say. And he got to a point where he helped, I forget the figure, but it's hundreds, if not thousands, of other people stay sober. And they would call him when they needed the help. And the story finished with his father was in hospital, end of life, about to die, and his phone rang. And he said to his son, Ed, he said, I need to get my phone. He said, Dad, you're dying. He said, I need you to get me on the phone. And he answered his phone and he saved this guy from having a drink on his last breath. And this story just hit me like a truck. And I weirdly, I'm now doing that for people on TikTok. It's very strange, but I am now people's accountability on TikTok. It's a very strange thing. I didn't mean that to happen. It's very subconscious, but I've kind of replayed the story on TikTok. But that moment there just made me realize, like, holy shit, I'm ruining everything by drinking. And it's designed, my whole life's designed around it. And I just quit. But of course, it was probably the culmination of so many things, pieces of content and hypnosis and talks and stuff, and had a horrendous hangover when I quit as well. All of those things. Fortunately, I didn't become alcoholic like some people in my family. So I've got it in my family. Most people do. So I had something quite close to look at and go, those people aren't here anymore because of it. I'm going to stop doing that. So I quit. And then to keep myself accountable, I just posted this little post on Facebook and I've been doing it for the last 2.5 years. So, yeah.
Thinking, because of course I've met you at a few things and it's usually been quite social, and I probably wouldn't have known that you'd have had a few drinks, like, because I suppose that's the kind of thing that happens. And I don't, I've been, trust me, I'm not in any judgment, I've been in there and done that with all the drugs, drink and everything. Chocolate's my thing now, it's like my new one, and it has been for like 20 years. But actually I wouldn't have known. So when that post came out, there's probably a few people went, shit, really? Didn't know you had that kind of a, not like addiction, but actually compulsion, which is, they're slightly different. The compulsion is I want to do it. The addiction is I've got to do it. It's a slightly different energy. But I was quite shocked. And I watched everybody going, oh wow, good for you. Like I watched that whole kind of thing unfold. And I thought, oh, and I remember messaging you probably about, I don't know, 3 months later, don't know how long, saying, I think you're going to help people with this. I don't know if you remember that message. You're going to help
I
people
do.
with this.
I do.
Yeah.
I've had so many messages. I mean, in the very early days, someone almost poked the bear and said, this is great, but people aren't going to give a shit in a month. And I was like, you fucking watch me. And 2.5 years on, people really still give a shit about those posts and they're using them. And I get a post. I haven't had one today, actually. It's what, 20 past 12 as we record this every day, probably for about the last 6 months now. I get a message from somewhere on the internet from someone saying, your videos inspire me to quit drinking. And it is so crazy to think that in my office where I am now, I'll just think of something about sobriety. What shall I post today? Most of my TikTok followers keep me to account to post every day. And if I miss one, they fucking tell me. And
Yeah.
it's mad. The people, I had a LinkedIn message from a guy in a tie as well, proper suited guy saying, what is he now? About 100 days sober. And it's changed his family's life. It's improved his relationship. It's saved his marriage. It's shaped his health. And he says, it's all down to your TikTok videos. I'm like, it just can't be. I'm just pushing it away going, it can't be. But it's
It can be. It is. It's not it can or can't. It is, Todd, because people want hope. Like what you give them. I'm sure you've had this said a million times, but just in case you haven't, and I'll give it you again, because you're never gonna have to make confidence. But it's about hope. There's so many people out there. Some don't even realize they're in that pattern. You possibly didn't at some points in your life realize that that pattern was messing shit up. And it's like it's the same with food, actually. Me and food, you and alcohol with me and food, same relationship, same pattern. And we just don't realize. And even now, when you just said, actually, you looked at how you were organizing your life around your needs around alcohol. And it just made my brain, even in that moment, go, shit, I do the same with food. Everything I run is lunch or coffee, cake, and coaching. It's a networking event, must have brunch or lunch or dinner. If it's just coffee, I'm not going. Actually, it's the same. All my friends I go out with, we meet for dinner. It's all focused, it's all food focused. So I never really understood that until that
It's
moment you said that, Todd. So you're still at it, even on a
I'm still at
podcast.
it, but
Oh, yeah, no.
this is what I've started to realize is that I've stopped listening to the bullshit in my head. It's like, oh, people won't care about that. Because sometimes you thought, I've never, thank you for highlighting that, because that's something I'll probably do that with my TikTok video tonight.
Welcome.
It's that your inner thoughts and things, because I was a regular drinker, a normal person, just a bloke, a white man. I'm just normal. And people look and go, shit, I drink that much. Oh, Christ,
Yeah.
I arranged my whole week around drinking. Oh, bloody hell, I look more forward to the event more than the actual drinking, a bit like Christmas. I said once that Christmas is a massive anticlimax. The build-up of Christmas is amazing. That's what drinking was like for me. I used to really look forward to seeing all my friends going to the pub, planning all around it, what am I going to wear, go to the pub. It was all right. It was nowhere near as good as a build-up because the chemicals in your body are what you're addicted to. And people are like, holy fuck. And it just opens people's minds to stuff. So I don't go down the kind of medical route or trying to avoid all those kind of areas, because I'm like, I've got to do a bit of research on that. I'm going to get to that point where I'll properly read up on it, because it's very helpful for me to do. But at the moment, it's just, here's a thing I had, here's a conversation I had, here's a question I had. Like yesterday, we Joe and I had a photo shoot for a national magazine, not a name drop or anything, it's just to explain the point. And all three people on there, because they sort of knew the story because they were just taking photos and stuff for their magazine, were all asking me the same familiar questions, like, why did you quit drinking? And what have you seen? Have you lost weight just because you quit drinking? Everyone wants to know that. Wow, you lost 4 stone. Was that just from quitting drinking? No. Everyone wants a simple solution. No, it wasn't just from quitting drinking. It was all this other shit I do as well. But it was the catalyst to doing it. So I'm by no means anti-alcohol. What I am is anti-habits that don't serve you. And if you have a habit, maybe yours is chocolate, where
It is.
your entire life is focused around it, it changes your decisions and it blurs your vision and it blurs your health and it blurs your mindset and all the sleep or what, you know, you need to look at that and say, I could, is this getting me where I'm going? Is it serving me? Is it okay? Like some people, they're okay. You know, we had an interview with someone this week and I said, have a glass of wine at night, helps them chill out. Fine. As long as you're aware, it's not actually chilling you out. You're chilling yourself out and you're using it as a crutch. And if I took it away, you could still do it on your own, but you think you wouldn't. And that's where I'm a bit like, we're an amazing piece of equipment. You don't need any drugs. You don't need any fucking help. You are completely perfect. But in this world, we're like, I need my social media fix. I need my chocolate fix. I need my wine fix. And it's like, I think we could be stronger if we just remove those crutches. So that's kind of the center of my message, really. It's not anti-alcohol. For me, it was like, well, not serving me at all.
Strength to remove those crutches that we believe we need, because actually the fear of removing that is because the brain is programmed to keep doing the same. That's why trance music and all the drugs of the 90s all work, because it's like, oh, we're all just dancing for 5 hours without stopping, drinking water every now and then, and you know, I don't know, waving a whistle in the air, because actually that pattern the brain likes, and it doesn't like the interrupt. So somehow somewhere some stuff that you kept hearing, and as of course you said, the reticular activating system was on, oh, let's look at the shit we don't want and let's work out what that is. So at some point you decided that to alert your brain to go and look for those solutions. And most people aren't doing that. They just carry on doing the same shit. I call it the known zone. So the same known stuff every day, same crap, same thoughts, same feelings, same outcomes. And actually it's not until something drastic happens normally. Like I've got one friend, and something very drastic happened to her when she was drunk, actually, and she really injured herself, like properly knocked her front teeth out, kind of injured
Wow.
herself. That's the end of drinking for her. So that breakdown is straight through typically. Whereas actually for you, it sounds like it was a progressive and then it was
Well,
a bit of both.
I had a moment at a networking event I ran in August 21, so about 4 weeks before the event, where I saw this guy on stage through Zoom, told his story, where I got so smashed I fell asleep in the car park behind my car, given my keys to someone that we both know. I gave my keys to Michael, so I couldn't drive my car. I wasn't trying to anyway. I was trying to get in it to fall asleep. And I was dressed in all my branded kit and I was representing my company. It was my company's networking event. And I was like, we can't do that again. Woke up the next day, hangover, went to the pub to get my roller banner because it was a networking meeting, started drinking again. I didn't listen to that moment. That was actually my moment, but I left it for a little bit longer and then went to this business event and heard the story and then it cemented it. But I'm very grateful to my past self that I didn't wait for knocking my front teeth out or smashing my car up or whatever it was, because most people I speak to on TikTok about their sobriety, people are very open about it too. They quit because something horrendous happened. And I was like, it's gonna fucking come in it.
So don't wait for it. Yeah, so that's definitely another bit of advice you can give there. So I've been watching you because alcohol, although it did play a part in when my parents died 22 years ago now, like I wanted everything to try and escape. So, and over the years, I've just stripped them all back. Don't do the drugs, don't do the drinking. And gambling was a big deal for me. Exactly the same concept though, Ted. Todd, all these, Ted, do Ted is, all these compulsions, addictions are all the same kind of energy. They're all dopamine mining, which if some of us have any. At least we will definitely do that. But mine was always around the food, and mine still is around the food. It feels like a nemesis. So actually, I'm not surprised that people, because I think more people have got food addictions and problems and weight issues than they have alcohol. I would imagine it's way more. See what I did there. So I think that's why lots of people are interested, and I think you'll go along that journey next. I think that's the next part because they want to know how did you? Because I've known you for quite a lot of years, and you are a very different man sitting in front of me now in every possible way, even the way you move. So that is, it's not just about how you look and how you feel, but how you show up is really different to the outside world. And a lot of people don't know how they're showing up, do they? So that top sitting in that car park didn't know what he looked like at that networking event. He wouldn't have realized the impact he was making. Everybody would have thought Todd's a decent guy, feel quite, and he's good fun and he's clever and he knows what he's talking about. But actually, this power of authority that's sitting in front of me now is really quite different than the one that was talking about marketing 5 years
I
ago,
think
even.
that's what I realized is that I wanted to improve, and I was already listening to podcasts, personal development and stuff, and I was like, I want to improve. And I was like, but there's a picture of me completely hammered at a networking meeting, overweight, looking like shit, everything was shit, my t-shirt was faded. I was like, why haven't I bought a new t-shirt? Why are my jeans hanging off my ass? Why am I under my hair? Oh, what's the matter with me? Totally let myself go. But it's so gradual, you don't notice it. And I just had this moment of realization where I was quite, men don't really do this with their own photos either. They don't really look, oh God, that's not my right side. I had a best side. I was like, what is happening? It is not. And it was an ego thing. I'm all right with it. I just talked to my team about ego. I said, look, ego is a good thing if it keeps you in check. My ego kept me in check and eventually sorted it out. But you're right. I am a completely different person inside and out. How did I do it? I replaced one addiction for another. That's what I did. I think we all have our thing. Chocolate for you, food for others, gambling. My PT had gambling as his thing, but no longer. I've replaced it with fitness. I'm obsessed with my own fitness. So I've replaced it with something that actually serves me. Obviously, you can overtrain and you can overdo whatever, but I think I'm more at risk with alcohol than I am with going to the gym, doing myself a disservice.
Catch that one. I mean, I've got a very compulsive, I've got ADHD, so I'm very compulsive. And I swapped gambling for events. That's how I did it. I worked out what I was getting from that. There's always something you're getting from it. So for you, there would have been something you were getting from drinking, and you almost accidentally, by the sound of it, worked out what you were getting and what you needed. And actually, for me, it was events. I was like, that buzz, that excitement of losing or winning. Oh, yeah, why don't you put on a big fuck off event and you'll either lose or win, won't you? They'll either come or they won't. They'll either buy tickets or they won't. It'll either be amazing or it won't. Same energy, serving people, creating something. And so that was what, 8, 9 years ago? Must have been, don't even know how long ago it was. Yeah, yes, 9 years ago. That's how my business started because I went, let's do that instead. And so that literally replacing one for another, it's the same with CBT counseling. I don't know if you've had any of that. They just take a pattern and interrupt it and put something else there. I remember I used to smoke 22 years ago, and I remember one of my friends who was a psychotherapist said, so you want to quit smoking? I said, yes, fed up with it. I'm out of breath, I'm asthmatic. I shouldn't be smoking. I hate it. It stinks. I just hate everything about it. And she said, tell me about when you smoke. And I said, well, get up in the morning, I'm going to get dressed and everything, brush my teeth, get in the car, light a fag. And she said, right, okay. She said, then what happens? I said, well, I drive to the roundabout that is at so and so, and then I light another fag. So this is my journey to where I was going every day. And she said, can you go a different way? So what do you mean? She said, well, when you get in the car, she said, can you do something different so you don't light that cigarette? And can you go a different way so you don't reach that roundabout? So, and this was really the start of me, so it must have been longer ago than that, thinking about, well, it was 20 years ago, thinking about, oh, hang on a minute, these are patterns of life and we can just change them. We can put space between the thought and the action, the trigger, the thought, the action, the trigger, the thought, the action. And that's how I quit smoking. I just thought, oh, well, actually, I would. And I just said, oh, not I want a fag or I need one. It was, I would have had one. I literally had a different phrasing around it. And my friends were saying, that's a weird thing to say. I said, I know, but that's how it is. Not that I want it. I don't need it anymore. I just would have done. And about 3 weeks later, I went to a party with what was my, at the time, my boyfriend. He became my husband. And I felt really uncomfortable because I didn't know anyone. And back in the day, that's how long ago it was, I'm stood at the bar and I didn't know anyone. And my boyfriend went to the toilet and I'm stood there, a group of girls all knew each other. And I'm like, I would have had a cigarette now. And I realized that actually the most confident person I know is me. But actually, in that environment, I wasn't. And that's when I would have smoked. And that really helped me to start then looking at what was creating that. And the question is, what was the purpose of it? So then I started to ask myself, well, what would have been the purpose? And I started to learn so much about myself. That was the beginning of my career. So you've had yours as the beginning of what is now your service career, if you like, as in helping people to change their lives. And that was the beginning of mine from smoking. So we should do a stop smoking, stop drinking session that probably competes with both of them. I'd love to be able to join you on the lose weight one, but I haven't got that one yet. Not mastered that. I'm waiting for you. Just waiting for you to run that event, Todd. I'm coming to that one. That is
I'll
not
work it
about the.
out.
I barely drink now, it's not even a thing. But the food one, that compulsion, and for some people, it's about feeling full. It sounds like you were trying to fulfill parts of
It's
yourself.
yeah, it is. And but mine was, which I eventually worked out, which isn't what helped me quit, but it helped me stay sober, is that I was searching for happiness, which sounds a bit woo-woo, but my grandparents were, well, my grandfather was an alcoholic, so whenever we went to stay with him, which was for 6 weeks of the whole summer holidays from school, we stayed with him, loved it, great fun, great grandparents, fantastic, couldn't wish for better. It was just always around pubs. Also, I love that as well. Great fun. So happiness for me was in a pub. And happiness was also sneaky beers, because my grandfather was always good at having a sneaky beer in the shed, sneaky beer on the way home. My uncles were the same. Also, one of those was an alcoholic. It's all clear now as an adult, but of course, when you're a child, none of this stuff really matters, and it doesn't really make sense, and you shouldn't really know about it anyway, because it's, you're kind of innocent and stuff. But happiness was linked to secret drinking, drinking in the pub. The pub was happy. In my adult life, 3 years ago, I was in the pub on my own with my AirPods and ignoring other human beings. I'm like, I'm not fucking happy though. Why am I here? And I hadn't really put it together until I quit. And then I look back and go, oh shit, now I can see how this all played out. So I enjoyed the feeling of going, the sneaky beers, the sneaking around, all of that kind of stuff, because it just reminded me of that. It's the same chemical in my brain. Now, weirdly, I get it from going to the gym in the morning. I sneak out the house at 4:45 in the morning. I sneak to the gym. I do my workout. I listen to whatever music I want to listen to. And I'm like, this is so cool. Like, no one's even awake. And it's the same thing. Like you said, I would have had a cigarette then. I would have gone to the pub then. It's just like, I would have had to get this hit later on in the day. And now, like, if Joe leaves the house, the first thing I can think about is, what workout can I do? It's weird, but it has literally replaced it.
Don't
And
think
it's
about something else, apparently. If you listen to some of the comedians, the first thing a bloke does when a woman leaves and they're at home on their own is they do something else.
Went
Compulsive.
upstairs, yeah.
Talk about something. Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, Mickey
I love
Flanagan.
that. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, right? I'm a cheeky. It's interesting because
Yeah.
actually, thinking back, you're bringing some stuff up because this is what this conversation's about, really, because it does make a difference. Just conversations create like sparks of stuff in your head. And one of the first guys I used to date, I mean, I'm going back a lot of years because obviously I don't even date guys, I'm married to a woman. And he used to talk about having a cheeky cheeseburger. And I look back at that now.
Yeah.
That was the beginning of, oh, yeah, let's just nip to McDonald's. Let's just nip and, yeah, let's just do that. And my dad used to have bags of little bags of Maltesers down the side of the sofa that my mum didn't know about because she sat there and she couldn't see it. But I was over there and I could see it. So in my head, it's like, oh, it's just that masquerading it as exciting and nice, that cheeky
Yeah.
cheeseburger and those sneaky little Maltesers. Guess which chocolate I'll go have if I go to the cinema? Maltesers.
It's
So.
about being conscious of it. And I think every single person listening to this, and almost every single person in the world, has a thing that they do that isn't because of the thing that they do. They haven't consciously questioned it. And even when you do, sometimes it doesn't mean it'll disappear. If you look at it, well, why am I doing this? Or this, even sometimes if it's a horrible thing to do, like the cigarettes you were talking about, you hated the smell, all this, it's still because it serves a habit. It's still your body likes to do the same things, and it's we are happy creatures. There's
Well, I
thousands,
mean, yeah.
tens of thousands of things happening. You've got to be on autopilot, haven't you? So it serves you.
Ourselves completely as well. The shit we tell ourselves is crazy. I've got a friend actually that smokes a lot, and it's really starting to impact her health. And whenever I say to her about it, just, not in a coaching, just in a, well, she says I'm going out for a cigarette. I'm like, oh, because obviously you're not smoking in anywhere, because that doesn't exist anymore. And I said, oh, what'll happen if you didn't do that kind of thing? And she said, oh, I love smoking. And I'm like, do you? You've spent the last 10 minutes justifying why you need to do it. You spend another 10 minutes trying not to smell of it. You didn't know where to put it. You didn't know what to do. And I remember that feeling. So not from a judgment of her, but actually, do you love it? Or do you love the gap it gives you? And I think it's just that brain break a lot of people need. And it sounds like you had a bit of that with the pub. If you're sat there with your earphones in, it's that like bit of freedom where you haven't got to think or be or say. You can just
Yeah, it served, it helped. It helped me through ups and downs, the depressive moments, high moments. It helped me commiserate and celebrate. And it was a really good thing. It just wasn't the right thing for me to do with it. And it just wasn't a great way of doing it, but it was a great thing. And this is what I say, I'm not anti-alcohol. I think alcohol's, it's a great thing because it's helping so many people. It's just if you're not consciously using it the right way, you can easily slip. So when I was getting to networking events at lunchtime and drinking wine at lunchtime, in on a Wednesday, because I was at work and it was sociable. I was like, no, you're just talking shit now. That now somehow this is taking over. And eventually they say like the man takes the drink and then the drink takes the man. Eventually the drink takes the man. And that's the bit I wanted to stop because I do sadly speak to people and partners of people who are too far for me to help. If you're an alcoholic, I can't help alcoholics. It's a totally different ballpark because it's the other way around, like you said. It's not, you can be addicted to something because you need it, or it's a compulsion because you just want to do it. I help people who are compulsion, like with my advice and apparently my content and stuff. But it's you get too
Your
far.
next workshop, because I know you're running stuff, so I'm hoping you're going to talk about that in a minute and we'll get this podcast out as quickly as we can. But the next one is don't hide at the pub, hide at the gym. I can hear it now because that is, isn't it? Moment. I'm just thinking, what can I do? What when I'm sneakily eating chocolate, what can I sneakily do that's more powerful? And ironically, I think I sneakily sit on the loo and do like Facebook posts. I feel like that a little bit like that. It's like a really weird energy, isn't it? I think all humans need that. We need a bit of naughty.
We
Most
do,
humans.
yeah. There's nothing wrong with it. It's about replacing it. That's the thing. Big fan of that. Don't quit, replace. And
I've got fetishes that no one knows about. They've all got a bit of naughty going on. Odd. So I know you've been running things. So now you've kind of you've decided to run towards it rather than away from it all, and now you're helping people. So I know that you ran something recently, and I think you're about to run another one. So what can people do if they're hearing you and going, oh, I need that. I need to understand that a bit more, or am I that, or have I got that, or can I change that? And you can help them. What can they do? How can they get you
At the
up to
moment,
top?
it's all at the moment. It's all on my TikTok. So the
Oh,
events
okay.
and stuff. I've got to focus on the business at the moment. So the main focus at the moment is my TikTok. So I do daily videos on there, and any news and stuff that will come out will go on there. So my TikTok is, if you just search for the Sober Cowboy, my actual handle is the Content Cowboy. If you search the Sober Cowboy, you'll find me on there. And you just have great conversations in the chats about it all. So,
Coming to
but
find
I'm
you.
sure
Put that list in the search.
in
There'll
my
be more.
future there is this other stuff for sure.
Put me on the list for the food one and the compulsions around it. And also, I suppose your ability on social media has helped you with this quest. Even though when you filled out the form for this, I'm just going to read it. In 60 days, you reached 5.7 million people and got 100,000 likes and just under 30,000 followers in 60 days. I mean, I look at that and I've been on TikTok for a few years. I do mess around on it. It's not really a serious platform. I've had a few clients from it, but it's just for learning about whether the earth is round or flat for me, really, and honestly. That just demonstrates how what you're teaching on social media works on any platform, anywhere, when you've just got that really focused thing. So, if people want to work with you and understand how you can do that, i.e., how can I get all those people in 60 days on TikTok? How can they do that with you? Because that's the cowboy, social cowboy, did you say? What's that one called?
Well, yeah, no, my TikTok is just for the sobriety. I've deliberately put everything there. If you want to know more about it, we're going to start running weekly, sorry, monthly webinars, and we do quarterly workshops and online workshops. And just head to Spaghetti Agency. The best thing you can do is get on our email list. If you go to the homepage of Spaghetti Agency, jump on our email list, like as the best place. And if you really want to connect with us, there's a Facebook group called Spaghetti Besties, which is just full of small business owners. It's great fun, and there's all sorts of stuff in there.
I am in. I can confirm you don't get loads of spammy, horrible shit emails
There's
either from
no,
that.
there's nothing in there, and
But
it's
that's
not even
your goal.
moderated. We don't delete stuff out there. It's just people are just calling there. But
Yeah. Well, like attracts like, darling, like attracts like. So what's next then? I know, and it's silly because when I asked you what your goal was 13 years ago, not a clue. Then not a clue. Now, is it not a clue still, or have we got a, oh,
I've
actually?
got a bit of an idea. Yeah, the sobriety habits transformation stuff has been really interesting. I very much enjoyed talking about it. I love speaking on stage about social and this stuff, so I'm sort of doing both at the moment. So if I get a speaking inquiry come in, it's like, what do you want me to talk about? They're like, what can you talk about? I give them these two options, and the kind of sobriety stuff resonates with everybody because everyone's got can you know can replace drink for chocolate, cigarettes, etc. So everyone's got that. So I'm very much growing my speaking career at the moment. I'm getting onto podcasts, so thank you for having me as a guest, just to
Oh,
put
welcome.
content out, help people. I enjoy talking about it, and then we're going to start doing our own podcasts and stuff like that. So it's slowly the mist is slowly moving away from the alcohol days, and it's like I'm getting some clarity, which is ultimately what I wanted. I remember I jumped on my exercise bike in the garage on a turbo trainer once because my business coach told me to do. You coaches are terrible people. And I was like hung over and I was like, this is fucking painful. And I was listening to a podcast and they talked about clarity. And I was like, that, I want that. I want the clarity to know what I want to do. And it's taken a long time because I'm a human and shit takes ages. But I'm starting to be like, that is where I'm going. So very, very slow progress. But that speaking and presenting and creating stuff like this, because that then feeds my agency, it keeps my team employed, and it works, and I can get to change lives and stuff, which is just fucking amazing. Gives you goosebumps, it's cool. So that's where I'm going.
Feeds you when you can see beautiful sparkly little lights instead of fog clearing, then you know you're in a whole different space. That's
Yeah.
next stuff. It's obviously what I help people with. It's been lovely to hear you get into your next level. It's been amazing to watch it kind of, you know, from the outside in, and I'm sure lots of people have said that to you. Yeah, I'm serious. I look forward to the way you're going to help the rest of us beat the food shit, because it's really very difficult. Not
Food's
bad.
difficult.
Because
Actually, food is a
what happens?
harder addiction because it's
Have to
everywhere
have
and you need it.
it. It's harder, but actually, you beat on yourself more. It's I think with alcohol, I haven't been there, not quite to the same level, but and drugs actually, you the, it's the outside world that sees it, whereas actually when it's food, it's your own inside shit. Like it makes you feel terrible, real bad self-worth stuff. So it's quite a different journey, but same outcome, same, you know, holding yourself back. So thank you so much. If you want to get in touch with Tud, definitely do. He's a good guy, as you can hear, and you can probably message him and he'll answer you, I feel sure, because he's got a social media addiction.
I'll pick it all up. Yeah, all my DMs. So yeah, spaghetti agency and all my
Yeah,
links are on there. So
so under here is Spaghetti Agency website, so you can go, and I'm sure the Facebook group's on there somewhere that you can sign up to, and the TikTok account, so you can follow. And if you have got any of the challenges that Todd's been talking about, then definitely reach out to him. Thank you so much for spending your time with us here. It's been joyful as always, and I look forward to seeing you somewhere soon. Hopefully on a stage at a seminar helping my ass. That'll be lovely. I look forward to that. Thanks, Todd.
cheers.